right, hey, Life Point Church, thank you all so much for being here with us this morning or whenever you're watching online. Man, I'm so excited to be back with you. Me and my family, every year we take the week of Thanksgiving off, we take a vacation. So we had a good time of rest and relaxation. Daniel did an amazing job holding down the fort and finishing up our series, Jesus Is. And man, I am excited to be here with you here finally in December of 2020, right? Like, we've almost made it. The end is in sight for 2020, but I'm so thankful that you're here with us today. And so today we're going to be kicking off a brand new message series, our Christmas series, and it's going to be a 3-week series called 'Tis the Season. In this series, we're going to be walking through the Christmas story, right? Not like a Christmas story, like you'll shoot your eye out kind of thing. No, but the Christmas story, right? The account of the birth of Jesus, which is what this season, right? This Christmas season is really all about. It's a season of faith. It's a season of joy and peace. And it's a season of hope. And that's what we're going to be covering over the next 3 weeks. And today we're going to be focusing specifically in on the lives of Mary and Joseph. And we're going to see that this is a season of faith. 'Tis the season for faith. You see, at this time of year, we typically read and we focus in on the Christmas story, right? Found in Luke 2. And if you've been around church for any length of time, or if you've even seen a Charlie Brown's Christmas, you've heard Luke 2 read probably dozens and dozens of times, right? I mean, it starts off, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, right? Like, we know that story, and it's a beautiful account of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus, right? It's an amazing account. It's a story that my family, we read every year on Christmas Eve night before we all go to bed. It's an important story. It's one of the greatest stories ever told of our time. It's the account, again, of the humble beginnings of the life of Jesus, right? From manger to Messiah. It's an amazing, amazing story. But today, I actually want us to focus in on the events that took place some 9 months before Luke 2, right? Before we get to that point of the story, something that happened 9 months before that. Because in order for us to experience and get to the joy and the hope found in Luke 2, we first have to acknowledge the incredible faith that both Mary and Joseph displayed in receiving and responding to God's plan for their life. You see, while the account of Jesus' birth is beautiful and foundational to our faith, it was a complete shock and a major life disruptor for both Mary and Joseph. Like, this wasn't easy news for them to receive. It put them both in this incredibly difficult, uncomfortable, awkward, and honestly, to some degree, an impossible situation. And yet, both navigated it with honesty, humility, and with extreme faith. Three qualities that honestly we all need to engage and to demonstrate in our life if we're ever going to be and do all that God has created us to be and do, right? Honesty, humility, and great faith. And Mary and Joseph, they lived it. And the result, while it most definitely wasn't the plan that they had maybe drawn out for their life, or maybe the plan that they wanted, because of their faith, it became the greatest thing in their life. It became their true purpose. And as a result, it changed the world. And it was all a result of their faith. Therefore, 'tis a season for faith, right? So let's go ahead and jump into these accounts. And I want us to read both of the accounts that took place as they were finding out what was going to transpire once they got to Luke 2, right? So let's go ahead and read this. And we're going to start off with Mary. And it's found in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now, at this point in time, like when the angel came to Mary and she received the news that she's about to receive, we need to understand that she wasn't like in her mid to late 20s. She wasn't in her 30s or 40s. Mary was a teenager. She was a teenage girl that was engaged to be married. So I'm sure she was already nervous and excited about her upcoming marriage to Joseph, probably thinking about their future, planning everything out, like how it was going to be, just like any young bride does. But then here comes this angel with a message straight from God that's essentially going to drop a bomb right in the middle of her plans, the things that she had lined out and planned for her life. So check it out. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Like, that was what I would call a fair and natural response, right? Like, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to figure out what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Again, a very logical and natural question. It's a fair question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And then in verse 37, "For the word of God will never fail." And man, I don't know about you, but I can't even begin to imagine the thoughts that were running through Mary's mind and her brain at that point in time. Like, I'm sure she's thinking like this is crazy. Like, how can I be pregnant? I'm a virgin. Like, seriously, pregnant with the Son of God? Like, by the Holy Spirit? Like, this is wild. No one's ever going to believe me. She was probably thinking like being filled with fear, because see, during that time period, if someone was pregnant and they weren't married, that was potentially punishable by death. So maybe she was thinking like, man, I might get executed for this and no one's going to believe me. Then she probably started thinking about Joseph, like, man, what is Joseph going to think? Like, he's for sure never going to believe this. He's probably just going to bail on me, and I'm going to have to figure out how to do this whole thing on my own. Maybe she was thinking simply, this is not what I had planned for my life. This is not what I had lined out. This is not the direction that I wanted to go. But I want you to check out, in the midst of all that, right? In the midst of her probably full of fear and doubt and confusion, maybe insecurity, like, seriously, you want me to be the mother of the Son of God? Like, I can't imagine the insecurity. Maybe the disappointment and the frustration. In the middle of all of that that was probably going on, I want you to check out verse 38. It says, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is most definitely was not how she had planned out her life. This was a major, major inconvenience and disruptor to her plans. She knew that this could actually cost her everything. And yet, she displayed brilliant faith, amazing, extreme faith, and said, "Yes, God, may everything that the angel just said, may everything that you want, may it be true. May it come true. Even though it makes no sense at all, even though I don't understand this and this isn't the plan for my life," she said, this was your plan, and I trust you, and I have faith, and I will follow your plans. Such a beautiful display of faith. And then there's Joseph, right? And he too was put into an incredibly difficult, overwhelming, confusing, and maybe even hurtful situation within this. You see, at some point after Luke 1:38, the last scripture that we just read when the angel left, at some point in time after that, Mary had to have the conversation with Joseph, right? Like, she had to talk to Joseph about this. And like, hey, Joseph, so yeah, we need to talk. Normally those conversations don't go good. I don't know about you and your relationships, but if Jen ever comes to me and is like, hey, Andy, we need to talk. Like, normally I've done something or something not great coming after that. So, but she was probably like, again, I'm just assuming the conversation, like, so Joseph, we need to talk. So I'm pregnant, but hey, it's okay because I'm still a virgin, and I'm pregnant, but it's with the Son of God, right? I got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and I know all this because the angel Gabriel came and he told me this. So it's all good, right? I mean, it sounds crazy. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Seriously, like, if I was Joseph, I would be thinking, like, this cheater is crazy if she thinks I'm going to believe this story. Like, she should have come up with something better than this. Like, seriously, you're going to hit me with all the religious, I'm pregnant, you know, by the Holy Spirit with the Son of God, mumbo jumbo, and the angel came and told you this? Like, nah, I would struggle seriously to believe that. You see, Joseph was put in an extremely difficult and confusing situation. A situation, again, that I'm confident that 100% he did not plan for. That was not part of his plan for his life or for his marriage with Mary. But so let's just go ahead and jump in to Joseph's reaction and response to the news. So we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 1, and we're starting in verse 18. So check it out. It says, let's hang on 1 second. iPad glitch. All right, here we go. Sorry about that. It says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So his plan was to quietly divorce her. You see, at this point in time in history, being engaged was a little more intense than it is today. It was harder to get out of. See, today, if you're engaged to someone and you both side are like, hey, this isn't gonna work out, you can just call off the engagement. But then it was more of a covenant. It was more of a legal commitment. So the only way to get out of an engagement then was either by death, one of the two dying, or through divorce. And to maintain her integrity and her honor, he wanted to do this quietly, very discreetly. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to divorce her quietly, and we'll just kind of walk away from this, try to keep it under wraps. Hopefully she won't get, you know, marked for this, or she won't have the ultimate punishment of execution. I'll just do so quietly, and we just kind of keep it under the radar. That's kind of what he was thinking, and that was his plan. But check this out, verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, right, like after he thought up this plan, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because this is, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Again, another display of amazing, extreme faith. You see, despite the unknown, despite the confusion, despite the questions, despite the fear, the, the hurt, despite the disruption and inconvenience to his life plans, despite what people might say about him and Mary, you know, the whispers, the gossip, despite the public shame that they might endure because of this, despite potential rejection, like despite everything, Joseph demonstrated faith and he followed the plan that God had interrupted his life with. This new plan to stay with Mary, to marry her, and to be the father of Jesus. He followed God's new and seemingly impossible plan for his life. He was obedient. You see, this was not Mary and Joseph's plan for their lives whatsoever. When they were dreaming up and during their engagement how their life was going to be, never did this come into the picture. It was, at the time, a massive inconvenience and disruption to their life. It placed them in a position where really they had one of two choices. They could have ignored God's plan, God's direction for their life, and just said, nope, we're not doing that, and just this was our plan, and we're going to stay the course on our current plan. Or they could step out in faith. And we're not talking about faith in themselves and their abilities to do what God was asking them to do. Not faith in their friends and family, like having their back through this difficult time. No, it was they had the choice to step out in faith through the inconvenience, through everything, and have faith that God would see them through. See them through what it was that he was asking and instructing them to do. You see, they had that choice. And thankfully, they made the right one. They stepped out in faith and said, God, may everything that you said be true. We will obey. We will be obedient. And again, this wasn't the plan for their life. But in stepping out in faith, they found that God's plan far exceeded their own plans for their life. That what God had in store for them was better than anything that they could have ever dreamt of for themselves. And thankfully, because they did step out on faith, it paved the way for Jesus to come on the scene. It paved the way for Luke 2. For the birth of our Lord and Savior. And again, it changed the world. And you see, not only is this amazing and important piece of the Christmas story, of the Christmas season, this is important, but it's also important for us today. It's a lesson and a truth that we need to come to embrace. You see, the reality is you may have your life all planned out. Your vision, the vision for your future in your mind might be crystal clear. But I'm telling you, God may have other plans. He might. He might just have to throw you a curveball that he's got in plan for you, for your life. His plan, not yours. And a lot of times that curveball can drastically change everything. It can wreck your plans. It can destroy them. It can blow them up. And most of the time, that curveball is very, very inconvenient. Now, I know that's not the most like encouraging thing I've ever said, but it's the truth. And I'll be honest, when it happens, it's not the greatest feeling right in the moment. Like Mary and Joseph, when they heard all this, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, how can this be? They had plenty of questions and fears and doubts, and when God throws that curveball, right, when he says, hey, my plans for your life are different, when that happens, it can be frustrating. It can be very challenging and confusing, especially frustrating for a perfectionist or a planner or someone that is very detail oriented and doesn't like change, which honestly is most of us. But what I want you to know today is that many times this is exactly how God works. This is how God operates. You see, more often than not, God's interruptions are an invitation to something incredible, but it's going to require faith. Let me say that again. God's interruptions are an invitation to something incredible, but it's going to require faith. You see, one day you could be just plugging along in your own plans and your own direction for your life, and then out of nowhere, God's like, all right, that's cool, but I want to invite you to go this way. I want to invite you to start doing this. I want to encourage you and ask you to stop doing this and head in this direction. Honestly, we see this God interacting and working this way all throughout Scripture. I mean, I think about Moses, right? Moses was going about his business and his plan for his life when God interrupted him with an invitation through a burning bush, right? God began to speak to Moses through a burning bush and says, hey, I see you, you know, going through life with your plan. However, I'm going to need you to free my people, right? God asked him to do something incredible, something extremely challenging, and something that was a major disruptor to his life. And then we see Saul, right? Later known as Paul, a guy who was known for traveling around and persecuting and killing Christians, right? That was his plan for his life. That's what he was doing, and he was good at it. He was known for it. But then God interrupted his plans and said, hey, you know what, Saul? I'm going to invite you to be one of my apostles. I'm going to invite you to take the gospel message of my son Jesus to all the world, to both Gentiles and the Jews, to everyone. I'm going to invite you to be my disciple. Inviting him to be the very thing, the opposite, right? The opposite of the very thing that he was trying to destroy. Like, he was trying to kill Christians, and Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to interrupt that plan, and I want you to become one. And not just one of them, but the leader. You see, God's interruptions are an invitation for something amazing. I've seen it in my own life over and over again. Some of you know, some of you don't. When I graduated high school, I actually started college to pursue a degree in nursing. And God quickly said, hey, that's a cool plan, but I'm going to need you to go this way. And I'm going to invite you to go in this direction. And he led me straight to Bible college. And then just 6 years ago, I was finishing up my MBA and was working on setting up an interview with a medical consulting firm, a big medical consulting firm that was going to have a nice payday. And God said, oh, that's great. You've worked really hard for this. That's a great plan. However, I'm going to invite you to go this way. I'm going to invite you to be the lead pastor of LifePoint Church. I'm going to invite you to let go of all of your plans and follow my plans. And honestly, this was very inconvenient. I mean, I had just worked almost 2 years on an MBA so that I could go do something different. And God said, no, I got other plans. It was inconvenient. It was a disruption. It was honestly a little bit frustrating. And it required massive amounts of faith for me to actually step into that spot, to follow God's plan. But I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back or anything like that, but in following God's plan, as opposed to following my own plan, man, it was the greatest decision that I've ever made in my life. Not the easiest decision, but the greatest decision that I've ever made. You see, God is known for interrupting our plans, but he interrupts them with an invitation for something so much better. Not easier, but something so much better. And I think Mary and Joseph would echo that. That wasn't their plans. They didn't say, you know what, we're going to plan to be the mother and father of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. But God blessed them with that. And God said, hey, don't follow your plans. I got something amazing for you, but it's going to require faith. So today, I want you to understand that God's interruptions are an invitation to something incredible. And I want you to know that it's going to require faith. But the real questions that I have for you today are this. And there's two of them. And I'm going to close with this. One, I want you to wrestle with this for the rest of the day today or for however long it takes. But what is God inviting you into? Like today, right now, what is God inviting you into? What is the inconvenient interruption that he's throwing out in your life, that he's putting before you? What is God inviting you to start doing? What is God asking you to stop doing? What opportunity is God teeing up for you right now? And you know it. You see it. It's right there. But it's terrifying, right? It's going to require faith. What is God teeing up for you? What is God inviting you into today? And I don't know what it may be. It could be a variety of things. For you, maybe it's that God's asking you to go on another career path, kind of like he did for me. Maybe he's inviting you into serving in a different role within the church or within your community. Maybe he's inviting you to accept him as your personal savior, like to invite him into your life for the first time. Maybe he's inviting you to take a risk, a calculated, faith-filled risk to be more generous in your life, with your talents, with your time, with your financials, whatever it may be. But what is God inviting you into? And the second question that I have for you is this. Are you going to step out in faith and accept the invitation? Because it is just that. It's an invitation. God is not going to force you to embrace and follow the plan that he has for your life. That's just not how he works. He's not going to force you into that. It's a choice. He's going to give you the invitation. And again, it might be a major disruptor and inconvenience in your life, but he's going to throw that invitation out there. The question is, are you going to step out in faith and accept that invitation? And I'm telling you, and I know this from experience, if you actually accept the invitation and you step out in faith, you're not going to be alone in that. Yes, it's not the easy way. Sure, it'll probably be challenging and difficult, and you'll have plenty of questions now and along the way. But the beautiful thing about it is when you step out in faith into God's plan, he will be with you. He will walk point for you. He will encourage you. He will lift you up. He will put people in your life that will help you on that path, that to encourage you as well. And most importantly, he will see you through it as long as you keep your eyes on him. And the end result, I promise you, will far exceed what you could have ever dreamt or planned for yourself. And it may not seem like it in the moment. Maybe you've been grinding on this plan in your life and you've calculated it and you've drawn it out just beautifully. But God says, hold up, let's go this way. And it's going to require faith. December 2020, right? In the middle of a global pandemic, church online, 'tis the season for faith. 'Tis the season to step out in faith into whatever it is that God is leading you and calling you into. Yes, it may be inconvenient. Yes, it may be terrifying. Yes, you may have had your whole life planned out and you're disappointed that you're not going in that direction. Yes, it may not seem to make any logical sense at all. But if it's God's plan, and if it's God being the one that's interrupting you, you can know with 100% certainty that his interruption is an invitation to something incredible, better than you could have ever imagined. But it will require faith. So I want to encourage you today, whatever it is that God is leading you into, whatever the interruption may be, or whatever that thing is that you know that God is asking you to do, and it's just been sitting there and you've been afraid, today I want you to accept that invitation. And I want to encourage you to step out in, on faith into whatever it is that God wants to do in your life. 'Tis the season for faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for what this season is all about. Celebrating your birth, celebrating the fact that you came to this earth, the perfect Son of God, and became flesh to go through all the experiences that we've gone through and to experience life, to be ridiculed and shamed, spit on and beaten, eventually murdered. You did all that for us, so that we could know you. Jesus, we're so thankful. We're thankful for what this time of year means. That when you stepped on the scene, that it changed everything for us. And Jesus, as we finish out this year of 2020 that's been incredibly difficult, that's honestly been a major inconvenience to us all, May we quiet our minds down from all the chaos, from all the disruption, and may we listen to your voice. May we listen to what it is that you want us to do. What we need to learn during this time. Maybe this has been the interruption that we needed to begin to follow your plan for our life. So God, may each of us be willing to step out in faith, to follow exactly what it is that you have planned for our lives. And may you remove the doubt, remove the fear, remove the enemy that tells us that stepping into that direction is not going to be as good as what we had planned for our lives, because that's a lie. We know that when we are in the middle of exactly what you want us to do, we'll be the happiest, we'll have the most peace. Not that it'll be easy, but that we know that you'll be with us and it will be incredible. Jesus, may we have the boldness to live in faith and to do exactly what it is that you are leading us to do. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, for those that are here, that are watching online, that maybe they don't know you as Savior, they've never stepped over that line of faith, God, maybe that's where they need to trust you and step out in faith, the ultimate faith of giving their life to you through confessing and believing. Jesus, if that individual's on watching right now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them and may they be willing to step out and receive you. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming and becoming man and walking this world so that we could be forgiven in the end. We could have victory in the end. Jesus, thank you. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us in this very unique environment. As you're watching at home, I'm here streaming from my home. So I just want to say thank you for being here with us, and thank you for calling LifePoint Church home or just checking out LifePoint Church. If what I just talked about in the prayer is you, that you've never stepped over that line of faith and you have questions about that, or if you want to give your life to Jesus, know that you can do that at any point in time. But if you have questions for me or for anyone from our church, go ahead and leave a comment below or send us a direct message, and someone from our team will get in touch with you as fast as we can so that we can talk you through that, encourage you, answer any questions that you might have. But if this is the first time that you're checking out LifePoint Church, thank you for being here. If you have any other questions, again, same way, go ahead and leave a comment below. Ask the questions. If you want more information, ask away. Or you can send us a direct message, or you can head over to our website and you can check that out. If you call LifePoint Church home and you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, man, we would appreciate that. If you want to do that, you can head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click that, it'll take you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Or you can use our text to give. If you text the amount that you want to give to the number 84321, it's pretty seamless. It'll send that money that you give directly through that text. But however you choose to give, we just want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving and supporting of what God is doing here at LifePoint Church. And we are committed to using that to further the kingdom, to love on people, to meet needs, to help anyone and everyone that we can, both physically as well as spiritually. So we want to encourage you to get in on that. So again, thank you all so much for being here with us. I love you guys. I miss you. I can't wait for us to get back together. Hopefully, this order or this request by the governor will not be extended out any further past the 14th. So we'll definitely see you all here online only again next week. And hopefully that will be the last time that we're only online. And we can get back to being both in person and online. But we'll keep you updated on that. So watch our social media and websites for that. Also continue to stay connected throughout the week. And yeah, we love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of LifePoint Church. And we will see you next time.